Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
CMB will come your way. Don Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Of course, we're live and in living color from the Black Bear Studio. Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses only at my favorite store. I'll be there Sunday morning before the Jet game. ShopRite. Now, Carl Banks, of course, is with us in his regular weekly spot. Do we have the Carl Banks promo here? We have that? Evan, you got that?
Do I? Yeah. No, I don't. But Carl, how the hell are you, my
friend?
Now,
here
friend?
It is, Carl. Hold
How's
on.
It going?
We got to read this.
I am good.
Carl Banks, of course, is brought to you by Tri-State Kia Dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Fox Ridge Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. The two-time Super Bowl champion and number 58 in our program, your program, and everybody's program, Carl Banks. Hi, Carl.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
I'm good. How are you?
So do you think against the Atlanta Falcon defense that's just been ravaged by injuries, and I thought this Falcon defense coming into the year had a chance to be a top five, top 10 defense. It really had gained steam from 2 years ago to even last year to this year, but they've been ravaged. I mean, they've just lost everybody, Keanu Neal, Deion Jones. They've lost everybody. Can the Giants put up 40? That's the real question, because it seems like this Falcon defense is the perfect defense for this offense to go up against right about now.
Well, the Falcons offense is their defense, too. They can put up a lot of points. I think they're top ranked.
Yes.
Yeah,
I left that part out.
Yeah. So the Giants need a win, point blank, whether it's with 30 points, 20 points. You know, they just have to figure out how to get this win on Monday night. It's been an interesting week. It's been a long week for the Giants. Some things just won't go away. And
what are you referring
winning.
To?
Yeah, well, yeah, we can look at anything on the news and see it. but it's just the thing that they need to do now. And I think when I was talking to their head coach yesterday, the one thing that they do realize now, that all they have is each other. Because there's not a lot of support. There's, you know, there's arrows being shot at them from every angle, from the owner to the quarterback to the offensive line to the wide receiver, and there's just no relenting. I mean, everybody, the longer this has been a great week for journalists because they could knit, you know, they could pick apart whatever areas they wanted and just take shots, and there's nothing the team can do about it. You know, they are 1-5, and you know the light at the end of the tunnel. They only see it. Everybody else are seeing the gloom, the doom, the mistakes. You know, you've got ownership being critical and ownership being criticized. You've got a quarterback who has been pillared, just beat from pillar to post, and a wide receiver who has got either people that love what he says or hates what he says. Either way, he says, and it's news. So it's been a tough week, but the thing about it is they do realize that it's just them. So if they see the light at the end of the tunnel, that's maybe what they should focus on. They can't tell anybody because nobody's going
to
believe them.
They
got to go out and show it. Exactly. Bottom line.
Because everything that goes along with it will slow down and stop eventually if they win.
Sure.
That's the thing about Odell and any Odell defender. And I don't think things are black and white. There are some things Odell has done that I'll defend. There are things he does I rip. It's not everything is in one side or the other. But anybody that wants to compare Odell Beckham Jr. to Tom Brady has to stop. Joe has said this over and over again, and every Odell defender has to listen to this. You have to win. If you don't win, you get away with nothing.
Exactly.
That's when you win, you can get away with almost everything.
Right. And you have to be a part of that winning solution. And I'm going to say this, and again, this is going to probably cut on either one side or the other. Whether if you like Odell, you're probably not going to like what I say. If you hate him, you're probably going to like some of the things I say. But I happen to be on the side of I love Odell Beckham. But I am not going to sit here and tell you guys that there's something that he can do. He has to do some things to get better. And the one thing that he has to do to help his team is to learn to deal with adversity a lot better than he has. Now, this is a step in maturity. If I had to tell him, and when the owner said, talk less, play more, I told that to him also. I told him weeks before the owner said
personally,
that.
You said
yes,
that?
Yes, personally.
What does he say when you say that?
He and I have a decent relationship.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it's authentic. So I'll talk to him. He'll tell me some things that are on his mind, and I'll tell him how I feel about it. But I'll tell him when I think he's wrong. I can tell him when I think he needs to do some other things. Now, maturity for a player of his stature, this is where the reality and where his frustrations, in my opinion, have all started to bubble up, because he did everything he could in the offseason to come back the best player, and the cards didn't line up right for him so far. Meaning, he was stronger, he's faster, was mentally focused, locked in, and then all of a sudden, he runs by Jalen Ramsey, and the whole league took notice, and now he can't get open on a regular basis because they're legislating against it. So his gift in certain areas was his curse because he put it on film, number one. So his frustrations are now, well, I'm not getting open, I'm not getting the ball, I can't do the things I want. Now your team is 1-5. So now you're losing two. You've got to make that adjustment. If you want to be truly a great player, allow your team to figure out how to get you the ball. And when they get it to you, you show how, why you trained so hard, why you came back faster and stronger. Now is not the time to throw criticisms out there, especially in the public square. He's too valuable to this team. It's 53 or it's 52. They're not going to splinter their locker room for one guy. And that one guy happens to be their best player, and he can make such a difference. But great players, they find a way to channel frustrations into performance.
Right.
Right now, that's the stage of maturity he has to get to. He's not there yet. I mean, he lashes out, and he's lashing out from a pure and authentic standpoint, but he's got to be able to redirect it into performance. And, you know, people say, well, they got to get him the football, and this got to happen, and that got to happen. You've got to be able to enable them to do that. There's a reason why Sterling Shepard is having a good year and all the other receivers, and he's not, because they saw him in his first game against supposedly the best defensive back in football. Ran right by him, and they're like, okay, this is not going to happen to us. Right, we cannot let this happen to us. And the one time, in the times that they do let it happen, you saw a touchdown in Carolina. So they're going to legislate against it. So it's in your best interest and your team's best interest to, let's work together. Let's see how we can get this. Let's prove them wrong. Because just running straight down the field when they're going to give you a picket fence defense, you're never going to be open. Mm. But the same screen pass that the same screen pass that Barkley runs and just darts all through a defense, he has that same skill set. Allow them to create that for you. Don't lament the fact that they're giving it to you as a dump down. Cherish the fact that they can get you four blockers in front of you and then let you do exactly what Barkley did. Those are the things that the great players do. When teams legislate against you, you find ways within the construct of your team to be better than what they're giving you. He's not giving that a chance, in my opinion. Mm. And I get it. All of his frustrations are coming from a good place, but it's not in the context of how it helps the team. It's in the construct of how can I be better so I can help the team.
Right.
It's got to be how can I help the team so I can be better.
Right.
It's two different mindsets.
Right.
But, you know, their objectives are aligned. He wants to be great and the team wants to win.
Well, and they're connected.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they're mutually beneficial. When one good's, the other one's good, too.
Yeah.
But it has to be with the other 52. Let them make you great, because you can't do it. As hard as you trained, you put it on film and they saw it. And so now they're going to legislate against it. Allow your team to help you be the great player and to show what you trained for to come back from a serious injury. That's where he's got to get in his level of maturity, because right now he's lashing out and it's not coming out the right way. And I get his frustration, but it's going to be 52 or it's going to be 53. And I don't want to see this young man on an island, because he's not going to get takers out of that locker room to just be, okay, yeah, you're right, dog. We're not going to. No, they're going to be. It's going to be 52 guys or it's going to be 53. He'll be on the team, but he'll be the guy who lashes out, or he'll be the guy who says, okay, y'all got to make me great today, because this is what they're doing to me. And they'll get him in positions to make plays. He's just too good of a football player, and he cares too much about football. He cares about being great, but he's got to care about being great in the construct of how they can help him when he can't do it by himself. And it's not a matter of, well, the offensive line this or the quarterback that. It's all of them. They're right. In it together.
Right.
And, you know, we can throw darts at this quarterback all you want. You can throw darts at the offensive line. You can come on film and you can see across the board, they all got to be better at what they do. And once they get better at what they do, you'll start to see a better Odell Beckham. You'll start to see a better quarterback. You'll start to see a better offensive line. You'll start to see a defense that's not giving up big plays at crucial times. They'll become more consistent. But they've got to get their best. The best player has got to get back in the fold. Put it that way. Because it's 52 or it's 53. And they need him.
Oh, no doubt.
They do. They do. What did you think about what Mara had to say?
It's the same thing I told. He and I sat down probably 2 weeks ago, Odell and I. And, you know, he just talked to me a little bit about, you know, this was right after the
You basically said that to him, you know, you need more playing and less talking?
Yeah, I told him, I said, at this point, talk less, play more.
Right.
That was 2 weeks ago.
What was his direct response to that, though? That's what I'm curious about. Like, when you
what
said,
did he say,
does he
that?
Nod?
When you said
does he say,
him?
You're right? What does he say?
No, he affirmed that.
He affirmed, okay.
Sure.
Right.
And
you show him your rings, too?
It's not about that. It's about winning. It's about
exactly.
That's exactly
but,
right.
But the thing about it, guys, is my conversations with him are not coming from, hey, I'm a champion. Let me show you how it's done. He's
Shouldn't
a great player.
Him?
No, what it should be is helping him become the best player and teammate that he can be, helping him maximize his abilities within the team construct. That's my conversations with him. I want to see him function at a high level in this town. You know, I don't want this. And I told him something else. I said, don't have rabbit ears. You know, because now it's going to be a lot of yapping, and they're going to try to push your buttons. You know, whatever's said is said. Now be done. Talk less, play more. That was right after the interview. We sat down.
Did you talk to him after he made the comment about, you know, that he almost alluded to he'd rather be in L.A. than New York?
No.
It was right after the interview, right?
Okay.
No, I mean, it was because I wasn't deconstructing the interview. I was having a conversation.
I understand.
Right.
With the young
on your
man.
Own.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, we don't have a conversation when he does something crazy, I'll say it. But that conversation is kind of a man to man. I want to see him be a great New York Giant.
Mm. Right.
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 I want him to do what's best for Odell within the team structure, not. You know, I know his frustration because he, you know, all he talked about when he walked through the door is how hard he worked to get back. And right now that's not paying off. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of backed up frustration because he feels that he's good. He feels he's great. He feels he's better, but he can't display that. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. And when you're on a team, you got to be able to help that team help you. And when, again, like I said, he put on film against Jacksonville and the league took notice. And they legislate against that. And he's got to be smart enough. Great players are thinkers. They're strategic. And in the construct of the NFL, coaches can put you in positions to do a lot of things. but you got to be willing to do that too. Yep. You're not going to take the top off of defense if they don't want you to. They every once in a while they can get you there, but most of the time, if you want to have a dominating game, you want to have a dominant game, allow them to do some other things with you and embrace it. You know, but it's 53 guys. It's 52 other guys that need you to be great within the structure because he helps everybody.
Sure.
And great, they'll help him.
No doubt. We got more coming up with Carl Banks. One more thing on the Giants, the defense, which I think isn't being talked about, how bad it's been. And obviously, we've got to get Carl's take on the Jets. The keys to the game is the Jets try to win again at home against the Vikings. So those things with Carl coming up, he'll be with us until 12 o'clock.
All right, 11:26, Joe and Evan in the midday. Carl Banks, of course, with us as he is every football Friday and Monday. Friday, of course, for the full hour up until noon.
Can we rip this Giant defense? Because that doesn't get taught. They've given up 100 points in the last three weeks. They pass rush.
You can say whatever you like. Well, rip is just a tough word for me.
Rip? What do you want to say? Criticize?
No, you can say rip. You can do whatever. We can talk about it.
All right,
let's
talk ever so gently about how
Be blunt. Be frank. Be frank. I just love, it's like, okay, we're going to come on and we're going to rip.
All right.
No, it's cool. We can have the conversation and be frank about it.
Oh,
absolutely.
Let's be frank about how pathetic the Giant defense has been. Where do you want to start?
Well, I can say this. They are so... Their attention to detail is something that makes you scratch your head because they'll have a good run of plays. They'll play strong in the red zone. And then all of a sudden, they give up a play for either lack of, you know, attention to detail or a blown assignment or a different pass rush lane or something like that. And it's always when you need them to be at their best. You know, I always go back to the Carolina game when it was 3rd and 20. Now, they had to kick a 63-yard field goal, but a 3rd and 20, when the game is on the line, and you could probably salt it away if you can just stop that one play. But it's one big play after the next big play, and they're giving up chunk yardage. And we know this is a offensive-oriented league. It's a league that scores a lot of points. But they've got to be able to make crucial stops in big moments. They had Olivier Vernon back, which helps. I think they have the players, but they're just not doing enough on a down-by-down basis to give themselves a chance to win. It just it makes me scratch my head. It's like, okay, that was a great series. They come out the next series, and the team marches up and down the field, and they get in the red zone. They may hold them to a field goal, but... Boy, you give up two or three plays, or they'll come out there and they'll have a horrible series of tackling, you know, and it's just like, okay, they go back and they get it corrected, and then it's something else. They've got to, and I said it from week one, they got to relearn how to win. And learning how to win, playing winning football, is playing fundamentally sound football. It's being assignment conscience football. You just can't freelance on every play. You got to be where you need to be on certain plays. So that the defense will work for you. And that happens a lot in their defense where there's a guy out of place or there's a bad communication or a blown assignment.
At what point, what would the record have to be for, you know, Laletta to be looked at?
I don't know.
You agreed at that, but if you get to a point that you'd need to look at him, you don't.
No.
1-12, you wouldn't look at him?
Listen, I'm not. Okay, let me say this because, We know what we see every day from this offense, right? If they decide that that's what they want to do, they'll do it. I can't tell you what the record's going to be, and I'm not going to sit here and have the same type of conversation I had last year about a decision because that decision I thought was a bad one.
Mainly because it was Geno Smith, though, right?
I mean, said it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no Geno Smith here. He's in L.A. now.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I'm not having that conversation about Geno Smith.
I know. You did that last week so eloquently. I loved it.
Exactly.
It was great.
So, my point is this. Unapologetically, I'm riding with Eli until they decide that there's time for a change. And when they do, I'm going to support the guy that's in there. You know, but I can't predict, especially when the collective of this offense needs to be better. I can't predict, nor would I want to predict, when they sit Eli Manning down. I think There's a lot that has to be seen from this entire offense before you decide, well, this guy can't give us a chance. Because you put the other kid in there, you're not going to see much from him. If things continue to work the way it is, yeah, you'll see him scramble around a lot. You know, maybe he can move a little better than Eli. But what you're getting right now from this offense is any quarterback will be under duress. And you want to say, well, we need a guy who can move around a little bit. Well, they all can move around. They all get hit when they move around. I mean, Russell Wilson moves around a lot too. Sometimes he makes plays. Sometimes he doesn't. You know, if that's what you want, or you want consistency, you want the ability to put an offense together. So I'm riding with Eli until they decide. That's not my decision. And when they do, I support the other guy. But I think this offense as a whole, before you can determine whether or not Eli is your best chance to win football games, you've got to see this offense come together and do things a lot better, including him. You know, he's included
right,
in that.
Right, right.
But they, as a whole, you just, if you pluck him out of there now and you throw the other guy in there, it may be worse.
Well, I wouldn't do it now.
It would be worse.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you're saying you got no chance, and unless you're saying I got to protect Eli, I don't want him to get killed, and you throw the other guy in there, you're just throwing him to the same wolves. You know?
It's more, and it's definitely something I wouldn't do until the season's over.
It's not over yet.
The discussion for me is not, I mean, look, this is not, we know it's not a team that's destined for the championship if they get the next few wins.
Right.
But you need to see this young offensive line or this new offensive line start to play better each and every week. As they play better each and every week, you should see the performance of the quarterback play better. And if that doesn't happen, if those two are not in sync, then you know, well, it's time for a change.
Yeah, and look, no one is going to sit here and say the Giants are making the playoffs or they're winning a Super Bowl, but I always look at it this way. When the number next to L is 5 or 6, it's not over. Because if you start winning games, you're in it.
You're in it.
It
right.
can happen.
But you have to play better to be in it.
Oh, no, they
you
have to play a lot better.
And
absolutely.
And this is exactly where, I mean, we need to just like lower expectations in terms of win losses and start looking at how they are playing from play to play or game to game, because they can play better and lose, and then they can get better the next game and win.
Or they can do the opposite,
right,
like they did from Carolina
Correct.
To Philly.
Correct. So that tells you to even have an idea or an expectation that, well, you know, if they win the next 5 games, they got to win the next series.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? They're
no
not
doubt.
Playing good enough to even have those realistic expectations anyway. You just want to see a team that gets better from quarter to quarter. You know, and then you can say, okay, well, we played 3 good quarters of football and we gave ourselves a chance to win. Now, the next week, you say, okay, I expect them to win if they can build on this consistently. But right now, there are enough bad plays in the game where I can't sit here and say, boy, if they win the next 5, they're back in contention.
Right, because it just doesn't look like that's in them right now to do that.
And that's fair.
That's fair to say.
But
things change very quickly in the
NFL.
No,
they will, and you want that.
Of course.
I mean, if you're a Giant fan, you want to see things get better.
Right, but that's why you don't do anything like this until it's really over. It may feel over. It ain't over.
Whenever they feel it's necessary, then you know what? Then it's necessary. I can't weigh in on that one way or the other. Like I said, I'm pretty transparent. I'm riding with Eli until they decide that he's not their guy. And I'm riding with the next guy after that.
Barkley's pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
He's tremendous.
He's such an average.
He's the best player on a team.
He's
now.
So average.
Forget about Odell. This is
he
the best
is so
player.
So average. I mean, look, anybody can make 7 guys miss.
Well, if you play the Bears the right week,
right,
you can.
Right.
As the Dolphins,
right,
you can.
Right,
make,
right, right.
You can make anybody. Who can, you know, give a guy a ball and make a guy miss you right in the middle of a hole and then accelerate through 3 other guys? Who doesn't do that?
He's an incredible talent.
He is.
I feel bad for him. I really do.
Don't.
Well, I do because he's in a spot with his own fans and fans around the league where they may look at him
it's
and
part
say
of the
it was
process.
A mistake, even if he ends up in the Hall
it's
of Fame.
It's part of the process.
I know, I'm just saying.
And you know what? The people who are claiming it's a mistake have never built a team. You know
well,
what I mean?
Maybe a fantasy team.
Let me just tell you something. When you see a talent that special and it happens to be better than a position of need, you have conversations with other people who know football and that are looking at the next class, and you say, okay, we can have a chance at a few other quarterbacks that are just as good as some of these kids that came out this year. So you pass up on that talent, and then you don't have anything else. You see, it's like when Andrew Luck took over for Peyton Manning, and then they had a back in the backfield at that time too. Or it's like you want to build a team where you can have as many good skill position players as possible. And then when you get a guy who's he's a transformational player, it's no doubt about it. When you look at him and you look at the rest of the backs, you know he does things that others don't,
right?
And can't.
Yeah.
And you know when you see that, you take that. And let me take that back. You see it, then you have a conversation with your football people, and you say, I feel like this is our guy. He's the best in here. What do we have? Because they know their quarterback's getting older. What do we have coming out next year? Can you guys give me a projection of the top 15 quarterbacks coming out and then pair them alongside this class that just came out? I just want to make sure.
No, yeah.
And look, we're hearing a lot about some pretty good quarterbacks this year. So it's not like we have a draft coming up that will be bereft of quarterbacks. And the top 10 teams picking
don't need quarterbacks for the most part.
There you go.
No, and we've mentioned that.
There you go.
I will tell you this, and Joe, you remember this. When we led up to the draft last year, I remember your opinion, which was, look, I don't know who's going to be the best quarterback. The Jets just need a quarterback,
right?
Whoever it is.
Like, give me the best guy, whoever that may be.
I ranked Darnold number one. He was the guy I wanted.
Right.
I didn't think they were ever going to get him.
Right.
For that reason, I am a huge fan of Saquon Barkley. I love Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I love the kid. I'm happy for him. I'm so glad he was taken number two overall.
There are teams, let me ask you, even though you got your quarterback.
Also, nice job by the Browns. As good as Mayfield may turn out to be.
I love Baker, too.
Yeah, right.
Right,
right.
So, given your circumstances, even with your quarterback, would you take a Saquon Barkley now?
Right now, yes.
Well, on the team with him?
Yes. Oh, of course.
Okay.
With him, sure.
Yes,
sure.
But the quarterback's
the
priority.
But the quarterback was the priority.
No, I understand. There's not a team in football.
Oh, no, he's great.
That wouldn't take him.
Carl, I'll put it this way.
He's tremendous. There's no disputing that.
Put it this way. Let's say the Giants decided we're going to take Sam Darnold. Baker's gone. Darnold's gone. The Jets at three would not take Saquon Barkley.
They weren't taking him.
Nor would I want them to.
But guess what?
I would have said, give me Allen or Rosen. Let's go.
If the team beneath the Jets took Barkley, and your quarterback
wasn't any good.
Well,
that's true.
And that still made me.
You see what
I'm
saying?
No, that's true.
So you evaluate based on what is true to your scouting principles.
Sure.
And if your scouting principles tell you that you take the best player available, now they don't do that in the closet by themselves. They don't look at film and say, "I think he's." They discuss this, and there's levels to scouting. They were working on this year's crop of quarterbacks last year.
Right, right.
The
right.
other kids were baked already. They knew what they were. So their advanced scouts and those guys that do college scouting, they knew. Now, did they know that the top 10 teams that are potentially picking in this draft all have quarterbacks? Probably that went into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's levels to this whole professional football thing where fans don't really look at it.
No, I understand.
But there's a process that they go through. Now, the process is not always right because there are a lot of dumb GMs, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of fired GMs, out-of-work GMs that are now saying, hey, I took the best athlete.
Right.
I took a guy that I projected that would be good.
Vernon Golston comes to mind.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, and then you can look at.
I mentioned his name.
And this is not bashing Jerry Reese, but you can look at a list of guys that didn't pan out. They're on every team.
Oh, everybody's got them.
But when you're picking two, you ain't doing it because you decided you like a guy. You're doing it based on a lot of information you get. And if you say apples to apples, he's the best player in this draft, I need a meeting with my scouts for the next 2 days because I need to know what's coming out next year because I'm picking this guy. If they can convince me that there's five other quarterbacks in this draft that we can be in play for or three other quarterbacks that we can be in play for, and then he's going to say, who's going to be free agent quarterbacks next year also? So they have options available to them, but the levels that they go through in terms of how they evaluate, they didn't just say I love Barkley because he's touched by the hand of God.
Right.
They're like, I love him because he's touched by the hand of God, but I need to make an informed decision before I pull the trigger on the best player available.
And I think there's a very good chance that he's going to put together that kind of career.
Could
because
be.
You
and they'll
watch
put together
him,
a team, but there's no right. there's no guarantees at quarterback. You
no,
see the kid in Buffalo's already hurt.
Yeah. Rosen has not gotten off to a very good start.
But you know what? They,
Mayfield's
some,
look good,
some
and obviously Donald's
ones,
look very good.
They'll all have their peaks and valleys.
They all will.
Donald will have a game. Just like the game before the last one, he didn't look great, right? The next game he bounces back and he's back to the guy you saw in week one.
Well, I'll tell you what about
that's
him.
What's going to happen, but you see the promise in these kids.
Well, let me say that, and forget about Donald for a second, but I just want to go back. But one thing, too, why, and I really believe this, Colin, we had this discussion before, they drafted Barkley also feeling they were going to contend this year with this team.
That is a public thought. I never thought it. Now, because I look at football a little different, and I knew that the roster was changing 65-70%. They took him knowing that he would give them a chance. They knew that it would give him a chance with this quarterback to get this quarterback, take some pressure off of him. He hasn't taken a lot of pressure off the quarterback because things just aren't working out as a whole. But, yeah, I could see where fans could say, well, they're going to do this and they're going to try to get in the playoffs right away. Well, maybe. Maybe. But I still saw this as a rebuilding year. Mm-hmm. Me personally, okay. Because I'm a football realist. You don't flip 70% of your roster and the entire offensive line and expect it all to come together week one. Now, to Evan's point, could they win enough games at this stage of the season to get in the conversation of a wild card? Yeah, but it's still a lot that has to come together. So if fans thought that they were going to contend, I don't know what they were contending for.
The division.
Nah,
that's what
I thought they were rebuilding to get better. I thought they drafted him so that they can get better to contend. Division, playoffs, wild card, it's not unrealistic for a fan to feel that way. I mean, that's the hope floats theory of football. You get a superstar, you get a player, you think he's a difference maker. Sometimes the difference is in the other guys.
And football, too, I think, maybe more than any other sport now, you can get year to year. It's such a year to year game, Carl. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you go from 3 wins to 10 wins. I mean, that happened. We see this happen a lot.
Sure.
It does happen.
But you know where the warts are. You know what I mean? And for every fan that had this expectation, they were the same fans that hated their offensive line, right? And they knew that that had to change.
Well, they did.
Right. And then if they're looking at this offensive line, what they put out there now, some young players, some new players, some inexperienced players, at some point they've had to adjust their expectations until this group starts to come together more. It's just that simple.
We got more coming up with Carl Banks. We'll actually come back at the keys to the local game. That local game this weekend features the New York Jets against the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get his thoughts on that coming up. But Ingo and Roberts here in the midday. So what more do you want to rip fantasy about? Go ahead.
I'm not ripping. We're having a thoughtful, frank conversation.
Yeah, it's very,
Carl, I love fantasy. There
I don't have
a
problem for those who play fantasy.
Right.
But, you know, there's a part of fantasy. The first part says fan. And if you're a football fan of a team, don't rip your team if they don't get in a winning effort. If they don't get your guy that you picked the ball, and
there was
a guy in my timeline after the Giants Houston game who ripped Eli Manning for it was a third and something, and they got the first down, but Odell was in the end zone, and Eli just
he didn't throw him the ball.
He didn't throw him the ball. So this guy's going on and on and on, and then another guy was on the timeline says, you do know they scored on that drive, right? So they score on the drive, which is the part that all fans should be happy with.
Sure.
But they didn't hit this favorite player that he had on his fantasy team. And that's what screws it up. It screws up I feel bad for the player, the people who play fantasy, who are not enjoying the fan experience.
Well, I play
it
fantasy.
It hasn't ruined football. It's,
no,
it's increased interest.
It. Yeah.
I don't know if it's enhanced it, but it's increased interest.
The popularity of it,
yes,
I should say.
And there's nothing whatsoever wrong with that. But it's just they shouldn't allow their fan experience to.
I agree. I think you have to. Like, I play fantasy football. I love fantasy football. I am a Jet fan first.
Yes.
So I'll give you a great example. I have Bilal Powell on my team, okay? He hasn't exactly been getting the ball in the red zone, right? It's been Isaiah Crowell getting in the end zone. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Would it be nice if Powell scored a touchdown? Sure, it'd be great. Have a party. But at the end of the day, all I care about is somebody.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn who it is. Somebody's in the end zone scoring a touchdown for the Jets. Right. That's all I care about.
And a lot of people that play fantasy, they don't do that.
Then you're not a fan of a team.
Maybe
right.
they're
That's
just in
it
is. For yeah.
That's what
yeah.
a lot of these guys are. I mean, yeah. they're just fans of, you know, whatever guy they have on Correct. Whatever team it may be.
And they've grown that base a lot because there are a lot of people say, hey, help me put my fantasy team together. I'm like, I can't help you put your fantasy team together. I can tell you how to root for a team,
right,
though.
But right,
some
right.
of these people don't root for a team. They just root for guys. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's all good. It's great, but for those who are fans of a team, don't let it ruin your fan experience.
You can't let that happen.
Yeah.
It's tough, but you can't.
But you look at some of the things that are said to these players, and you know exactly where it's coming from.
Oh, you can tell.
Yeah.
Carl's Keys to the Game is sponsored, the local game, sponsored by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. We'll get your keys to the Giants on Monday, but today the Jets play the Minnesota Vikings. They are looking to complete what would be a tremendous homestand.
Sure.
Kirk Cousins comes to town. The Viking defense has not been nearly as dominant as it was a year ago. I think Everson Griffin being out has been a big issue. What are the keys to the Jets pulling off this upset?
I think it has to come down to Kirk Cousins. You've got to keep him under duress constantly. I mean, he's a much better quarterback than people thought he was in Washington. Good pressure quarterback. He, you know, can make some tough throws, but I think you've got to force him into bad decisions. He can be forced into bad decisions. I love the way the Jets' defense is playing, in particular their defensive backfield. Jamal Adams and that crew are really
very banged up in the secondary this week.
I know.
You know, which scares me.
But they've got to figure out how they continue to play. That's been one of the strengths and the constants of their defense. Now up front, they seem to have gotten it corrected from 2 weeks ago. But they have to be aggressive, stay aggressive, force Cousins into some bad decisions. He will make bad decisions under duress. When he has time, he makes great decisions with the football. Offensively, it's all about that balance again. They've got to get that run-pass ratio about 60-40 and allow this quarterback just to continue to operate on his terms and not being behind the chains a lot.
One thing about Cousins this year, and he's had a good year, is he's fumbled a bunch of times.
He has done.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, that's Kirk. That's what you get with
sure.
Kirk Cousins.
Well, that if the Jets can get to him, maybe
but you
they
know
can
what?
He's
a, he can be a clutch player for them.
Sure.
He always comes up with some big plays. So you've got to – he can be forced into mistakes, and you got to keep pressure on him to do that because he hangs in there, and he'll make some bad plays, but he'll also make some good ones. But you want him throwing the ball to your guys in some key situations, and he will do that.
Mm. I tell you one thing, the Jets defense has done tremendously so far, and it's great because they haven't been like that for years, is take the ball away. I mean, it's second in the NFL takeaways right now.
And that's been kind of the blueprint of a Todd Bowles defense. It's to generate turnovers. They want to create chaos and force turnovers.
It only took 4 years.
Well, 4 years, some good players, and all that other stuff.
They got a lot of nice young players on his team.
Yeah, they do. And so now you're seeing what a lot of people were expecting from this defense when they had that big defensive front that just underperformed week after week.
Right.
Now they got new guys in there that seem to get
one
it.
One of them is back
play.
This week, Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, the other one's out. He was in Buffalo.
Yeah, no. Well, Wilkerson's in Green Bay.
Green Bay.
He's out for the year. Yeah.
So, look. They have a good nucleus going. Defensively can lead the way for them. They can control field position with their defense, which helps this quarterback. I don't think special teams have killed them. So they're not – special teams is not a liability.
They've been good.
For the Jets, right.
They actually got a return game now.
Right.
Kicked 7 field goals last week.
You got a returner. Yeah, well, listen, that helps the young quarterback.
Of course it does.
If you think back to, and I always harken back to the Chad Pennington days, right? They were the kings of field position because they put emphasis on their special teams, either coverage teams pinning someone back and forcing them to punt, and their return teams were always good. So you always gave a quarterback a great opportunity to operate, and when you got a good kicker, You keep yourself in games that way. And defense, this defense is a pretty good assistant for this offense and this young quarterback.
Carl, we will talk to you Monday.
Yep.
We'll link ahead to the Giants.
I guess you'll
game
be in Atlanta Monday, right?
Yeah, I'll be calling you from a hotel phone.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, Carl. Good seeing you. Great call.
Thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.